Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 6, let's stand in honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. I want to read just a couple verses to you, and we'll make reference to several verses in the chapter tonight, but we'll just read a couple in the beginning. The Bible said this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are," watch this, "dead to sin live any longer therein?" He said, and again, look what he said. "How shall we that are dead to sin?" It's what the writer said to us, not that we're dead to sin. Of course, he's talking to the saved. "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Father, we love you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight for a little while as we look into your word, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been studying basic Bible doctrines on Wednesday nights over the past several weeks. And tonight we'll look at this. It's the seventh message in this. But we're going to look at this thought tonight, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of sanctification. Whenever you begin to think about that, the doctrine of sanctification is an important study for every individual who has been saved. Whenever you study the King James Bible, the words holy, saint, sanctify, sanctuary, and sanctification are all translated from the same root word, which means set apart. It means to be set apart. Sanctification is really God working by His Spirit, His Word, and things which He allows to come into our lives to conform us into the image that God would have us to be. I thought about this. John 17:7 says this. The Word of God in John 17:7 says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." What did he say? He said, "Sanctify them through truth. Thy Word is truth." He goes on to say this in Ephesians chapter number 5. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water," note again, "by his word," or by the word. And sanctification will come through the word of God tonight. And we know that he cleanses us through his word. As we begin to think about sanctification tonight, there's two different types of sanctification that I want to look at tonight. Number one, I want to look at positional sanctification, but then I also want to look at progressive sanctification tonight as we go through this. Now, a lot of times whenever you use the word sanctification or the word separation, it's practically the same word. A lot of times everybody will lock down on you whenever you begin talking about sanctification or separation. Sanctification and separation is not bondage, it's freedom. Can I say that again? Sanctification and separation is not bondage tonight. It's actually freedom tonight, amen? Being saved and separated from the world is not a life of bondage. I believe that we'll see according to the Bible tonight, it's actually a life of freedom tonight. Let's think about this. Whenever we begin to think about sanctification, sanctification is a progressional thing. And again, we're going to look at positional and practical separation, but separation or sanctification tonight is a progressional thing. Salvation is not progressional. Let me illustrate that to you tonight. The night that I got saved, when I bowed on my knees, asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and save me, immediately I got saved. I got as saved as I'll ever be. I'll never be no more saved than that night when I asked God to save me immediately. God washed my sins away. God cleansed me in His blood. And I became an heir of God and a child of God. Salvation is an immediate action that takes place when we call on His name. However, sanctification or separation is a progressional tonight. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? If I could, I would illustrate it this way. I've been saved ever since I was 16 years old. I'm 44 years old now, so for over 20 years I've been saved. Can I say this to you tonight? I believe that I am more separated tonight than the night that I got saved. I believe that I'm closer to God tonight. I have a better understanding of the Word of God tonight than the night that I got saved. But that didn't happen overnight. It was a progression into that. There are some things that if it's a man that or a lady that has struggled with addiction, whenever they got saved, I believe God can deliver them from the addiction. However, there will be a time of progression where they grow in the things of God. They grow in the knowledge of God. They grow in separating themselves from the world. You know, a lot of times I think that we have in our mind that, man, we get saved, a person gets saved, and then as soon as they're saved, just as soon as they ask God into their heart, immediately they have the knowledge of the Word of God of a man that's been saved 50 years. Immediately they are as separated from the world as a man that's been saved 50 years. Can I illustrate it this way? Have you ever, now Brother Fred sitting back there, he loves catfish. He loves to go to Saint T. Cooper and catch him great old big catfish. And you say, what's your thoughts of Saint T. Cooper? You don't want to know it. I don't like the place, but he loves to go down there and catch him great old big catfish. Now, he has never, and he'll send me videos of them and pictures of them catching them big old fish down there. But, Brother Mark, they never reeled one in. And as soon as it hit the boat, it was clean, filleted, all the guts out of it, and ready to go in the frying pan. Let me tell you what they have to do. They have to take time to clean that fish and to get that fish ready for the frying pan. Now, I'm not saying we're getting you ready for the frying pan, okay? But what I am saying is this, sanctification is progressional. You know, sometimes we want to, I just say it the way I'm thinking it in my mind. We want to look down our pharisaical nose and say, well, you know what? That person got saved. They shouldn't dress like that. They shouldn't act like that. They shouldn't do like that. Man, give them a little bit of time. They're a baby. Give them a little bit of time. We can expect everybody to be on the same level as somebody that's been saved 50 years. So let's think about this sanctification tonight. Two things I want to look at. Number one, I want to look at positional sanctification tonight. Positional sanctification tonight. This is God's part in a positional sanctification. In positional sanctification, God sets us apart by Himself, to Himself, and for Himself. All this takes place instantly when a person is saved by the grace of God. This means that the moment we were saved, we were positionally set apart from our old sins and from the world, and we were placed into the body of Christ. The night I got saved, immediately I was placed into the body of Christ. Immediately I became a child of God. Think about this with me. In the scripture in 1 Corinthians, it teaches that the moment that we got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. We read in Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we see that from these verses that when the Lord saved us, God set us apart by himself, to himself, for himself, placing us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is based upon the Christian and based upon Christ's victory and Christ's resurrection from the dead. We are placed immediately into the body of Christ. Now, that's the positional sanctification, which is God's part. But here's really where I want to spend my time tonight. Practical sanctification or practical separation tonight. And this is man's part. You ever heard the old saying, you can lead a mule to the water, but you can't make him drink? Right. You ever heard that saying, you can feed a dog, but you can't make him eat? Now, whenever we got saved, God brought us out from some things, but there is also a responsibility on our part to separate ourselves from it. I'm 44 years old, and I was thinking about this today. I can do whatever I want to do. Are you with me? I don't have to call my mom and daddy and ask permission for it. I can do whatever I want to do. I don't have to call my wife and ask permission for it. You say, well, I bet you do. I bet I don't. And in all reality, she don't have to call me and ask permission to do what she wants to do. We're adults. We can do what we want to do. If I want to go cheat on my wife, I can. If I want to go get drunk, I can. If I want to go run in the world, I can. But here's the difference. I don't want to do that. There is a responsibility that falls back on my part to daily seek the face of God and to positionally separate myself and practically come out from this world. Now, let's look at this tonight. Practical sanctification is simply the process of us living out in practice what God has given us positionally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay with me tonight. I promise you this will help you if you'll stay with me. The work of practical sanctification is a progressive work. As the child of God grows in the grace and knowledge of God, he will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times we'll say to our kids, you need to separate yourself from such and such because you're going to become like them. The old saying is, you are right now or soon will be what your friends are. I've used this illustration before. Years ago, man, I used to live to hunt and hunt to live. Just, man, I loved it. I loved it. And I never have been a huge deer hunter. I do some now because Olivia enjoys it, and I always have some. But my favorite thing was bear hunting and wild hog hunting. And I always hunted with them boys from way up in western North Carolina. And I'd go up there, and, man, I'd spend a week in the mountains up there, and I loved every minute of it. And I'd come back home, and Brother Josh, we'd say things like this, you're listening to me right now. I'm going to go out there and get my rig and go home. That's what they call their trucks up there. Or they'd say, hey, have you got a doke? That's their drink up there. Hey, where'd my derby go? It fell off my hat. That's their hat. You said, Preacher, what do you say? When I spent very long up there, I'd come back home, and Leslie would go, you're not going back up there for a long time. Why? Because you began talking like they do. You began walking like they do. You began acting like they do. Why? Because you are spending time with them. If you want to be like Christ, hear me, you got to spend time with him. And the more time you spend with him, we're talking about a practical separation and a practical sanctification. The more time you spend with Christ and his word, the more you'll become like him. Let me tell you the reason a lot of times we do the things we do, it's because of the people we're with. We apply that to young people so much, but boy, that's across the board tonight. That's to everybody. Let's think about this. One of the greatest studies on the subject of sanctification is found in Romans 6, 7, and 8. That's where it's found at. Now, we're going to look primarily in Romans 6 tonight. But think about this if you're writing anything down. In Romans 6, We see the experience of victory explained. How do we have this victory? In Romans 7, we see the enemy of victory exposed. He exposes that enemy in Romans 7. And in Romans 8, we see the enjoyment of victory experienced. Boy, how true that is. Man, I love these chapters in the Word of God. In Romans 6, there are four key words that you need to understand in Romans chapter number 6. What did he say? He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we just go out in sin because of grace? And then he goes on to say, God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? What Paul said right there? He said, we're dead. Let me tell you the reason you sin tonight. This is deep. Are you ready? Get your pen and paper out. You're going to need a Hebrew and a Greek lexicon to understand this. Here's the reason you sin tonight. Because you want to. When you got saved, you died to sin, according to the Bible. Nobody's hollering amen. Now, if Brother Milton Taylor was here preaching this, y'all would holler amen. You died to sin. You died. I just thought about a joke. Brother Milton Taylor makes you think about jokes. It's funny. I'll tell it to you after a while if you want to hear the one about the ugly people on the bus that wrecked. But think about this. It was hilarious. It's great. Think about this. We are dead to sin. That's what he just said. He goes on to say this. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's four key words. Let's look at them tonight. The first is know or knowing. Look with me in verse number 3. The Bible said this. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Look in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man, that is the flesh, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might not be destroyed, or that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What did he say? He said that we should not serve sin. Look again in verse number 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Look in verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So the first words we need to look at is know and knowing. There is some things that we can know. I'm talking about a practical sanctification, a practical separation from this world. There is some things that we can know. What we know will determine how much of this victory we will experience in our Christian life, according to John 8. In these verses, we discover the real source of our victory is our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. This alone is the source of true Christian victory. We do not work for this victory, but from this victory. The victory has already been won for us. Real victory is only experienced when we recognize that God sees us in Christ. Know this, God looks at us through Christ. Think about this. The lesson of Romans 6 is this. In God's sight, when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ was buried, we were buried with him. When Christ arose from the dead, we arose with him. When Christ ascended up on high, we ascended with him. When Christ sat down on the right hand of the Father on high, we also sit down with him. We as believers are right now seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians 2. Know this, that God sees us through Christ. Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Listen to this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. When Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. You remember the story of the old mountain man that had three sons and their old dog died. You ever heard that story, hadn't you? The old man got up early that morning and walked outside, and the dog was dead, laying on the front porch. He walked back in there and rolled them boys out of bed and said, go bury old Blue. They got up and went up on the side of the hill, dug a hole, throwed old Blue in it, covered it back up, come back down and eat breakfast, went through their day. They got up the next morning. The old man got up first, walked back outside, and a pack of dogs had come through in the middle of the night and dug old Blue up and drug him back up there on the porch. You know what the old man did? He walked back in there. He got those three boys up. Said, I thought I told you to bury old Blue. And they said, Pa, we did. He said, well, go bury him again. He's on the front porch. They carried old Blue back up on the side of the mountain, throwed him back in the hole, covered him back up, come back home, went through their daily routine, got up the next morning, and guess what? Old Blue was laying back on the front porch. The old man said, hey, boys, I thought I told you to bury old Blue. They said, we did, Pa. He said, well, he's back out on the porch again. You need to take him up there on the hill and bury him like I told you to. The boy said, well, Pa, how many times are we going to have to bury old Blue? And here's what he said, until he quits getting up. Old Blue was as dead could be, but he kept getting brought back down there. When you got saved, you died to your old man. He's dead can be, but you allow him to get back up in your life. And on a daily basis, know this, we died with Christ. We was buried with Christ. We raised again in victory with Christ. We ascended to heaven with Christ. Know this tonight. You say, preacher, how many times am I going to have to put the old man back down until he quits getting up? You say, when's that going to be? When the Lord calls us home to be with him. Amen. So we see this. Know and knowing. The second key words in Romans 6 is this, the word reckon. The word reckon. Look in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did he say? He said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. To be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon yourselves dead. This is a very interesting word. It's matter of fact, it's a mathematical term, and it means to calculate or to count. Think about this. Our victory that God has given us in Christ Jesus is not experienced because of our struggling, trying, or our working. Victory is experienced when we calculate the fact that God sees us in Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and in his ascension. If I feed all these facts into God's calculator, the answer that comes out says this, I have victory in Jesus. The victory is not based on my feelings, but the victory is based on the fact of God's word. Amen. You say, I don't feel saved. There's sometimes I don't feel saved either. That don't change the fact that I'm saved. Right. Amen. He said, calculate this. Think about this with me. 1 Corinthians 15:57, we read, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again we see God sets us apart by himself, to himself, and for himself. He literally lifts us up out of sin and defeats and sets us over the victory, or sets us into victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, reckon it. What did he say? Look again. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. When you calculate God's grace against our sin, guess what happens? We come out victorious over death, hell, and the grave in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You say, why am I sinning? Because you're wanting to. That's why. According to the Bible, we're dead to sin. Reckon it. Look here. Put all of your figures you want to into God's calculator and divide it by His grace, and we come out more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him tonight. Now, I'm going to show you two more words right here. It's really where I've been trying to get to, and I'll be done. I'm watching the time. The other two words in Romans 6 are this. Yield, found in verse 13. What did the Bible say? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Then also the word obey, which is found in verse 16 and 17. Look what it says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants, watch this, to obey, his servants are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So here's what it comes down to tonight. Now I'm going to give this to you real simple and knock a bunch of notes out and we'll go home. Here's where it comes down to tonight. When I got saved, I become a child of God, as much of a child of God as I'll ever be. But at the same time, I am still living in the world. Matter of fact, Romans 7 deals with it. I'm still living in the world. I cannot get out of the world until I die or until the Lord comes back. So as long as I am living in this world, I am going to deal with temptation. I have reckoned everything. I have calculated it all, and I am forgiven in Christ, and I have a new position. I am a child of the King now. However, I'm still living in an ungodly, polluted, defiled, sin-filled world. Are you with me? Now, here's what he says. So where it all comes down to is this. All comes down to this, yielding and obeying. Yielding and obeying. Again, look with me in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He says, look, God has set you free. God has saved you. God has given you the victory through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you need not to do. Don't yield yourselves as members of unrighteousness to sin. Whenever you sin, you allow your body to be an instrument of unrighteousness. I am not saying tonight that we can live above sin. I am not saying that we can live a sinless life, but I am saying we can live a life of less sin. We can live a life of less sin. Amen, preacher. How? By what we are yielding to. By what we are yielding to. Me and Olivia was in a place yesterday, and while we was in there, we was talking to one individual, another individual come in, that individual began to talk to the other individual that we was talking to. And as they began to talk, there was a very sensitive topic came up, and the individual that had walked in to talk to this other individual said a few things and stopped. And I looked over at that individual, and this is what I said, Miss Christie, you know these individuals that I'm talking about. That's what I said. I bet if Olivia hadn't been sitting here, you'd have said a whole lot more than what you just said. And that individual said, you're right, preacher. And you know exactly what I thought. At that moment, they was yielding themselves to be instruments of unrighteousness. You say, well, preacher, I get mad. Sometimes I do too. It's okay to get mad. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be mad when that car cuts you off. When you drive by and blow the horn and give them a California howdy, you've just sinned though. You yielded yourself as members of unrighteousness. Are you hearing me tonight? You've yielded yourselves as members of unrighteousness. So you say, preacher, what are you saying? The doctrine of sanctification, it all comes down to this. Who are you going to yield yourself to? Who are you? He goes on, he uses another word, the word obey in verse 16. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You know, the old statement is this. Will you come start playing, Miss Tanya? That is the old statement, isn't it? You say it about three times a week normally. But the old statement is this. Well, the devil made me do it. No, you done it because you wanted to. You had to make a decision. And with every decision comes consequence. With every decision comes consequence. I was coming up the road today, and I don't even know if Miss Leslie and Madeline realized it or not, but I was coming up the road today, and Olivia's car has been in the shop for about a month now, and I finally called over there last week, and I said, hey, look, this is a recall and warranty work. I need something to drive. I've not said nothing. I've not been ugly, but it's time for me to have something to drive. Because they told me, said, we don't know when the part will come in. I said, well, I need something to drive. And Scenic being the good people they did put me in something to drive. And we got it on Monday, and I hadn't drove it much. And today we had to go to town. Leslie and I went and visited a couple families, and Madeline rode with us. And I was coming down. I was coming down the 601 out of Mount Airy towards Dobson. And I met a state trooper, and I looked down to there, and I was running like 67 mile an hour before I ever got to Sheets. And I thought, oh, no. He went over in the turning lane, and I thought, well, there's a road right up here on the right. He said, why'd you think that? Well, it's an easy place to pull off. And him, y'all with him, he said, y'all done thought I was going to run. See, y'all yielding your members to unrighteousness right there. Y'all sized me up and falsely accused me. I glanced up in the mirror, Remington, and he pulled up. He sat there, and I thought, well, I ain't got nothing to worry about. If he was coming after me, son, he'd have whooped it around right there and already caught up with me. But, now listen to me. If he had to turn around and come after me, he'd have wrote me a ticket. You know what? I was one and wrong. Because I yielded my members to go over the speed limit. I chose to do that. It's not everybody else's fault when you do something wrong. You know, a lot of times young people say this, well, it was just peer pressure. No, you yielded your members to unrighteousness. Who you obey, what did he say? He said this, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Now let's read the rest of the chapter, and I'm done. Being then made free from sin. How was we made free from sin? Because we obeyed God. We yielded ourselves to God. We put our sin into his calculator, and it come out that we was a child of God. Amen. Know this tonight. Look what he said. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. It's coming back to you. This is your part. The practical separation or the practical sanctification that's coming, God's putting it all right back in your court. It's up to you to do it. For verse number 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. How many times have you ever heard somebody say that in their testimony? Well, I'm ashamed of things I used to do. Well, it's all going right along with what he's saying right here in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 22. But now, it's talking to the saved man. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. That's the ultimate payment for sin. But, note what he says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you know what he says? For your sins, the payment is death. But know this, when you reckon your sins, when you take your sins and put them into God's calculator and divide it by his grace, know this, you've been made free from sin. Now it's your choice whether or not you're going to be living a sanctified life or not. You can live a sanctified life. You can live a sanctified... You know what sin does? It holds you in bondage. That's what it does. Let me tell you the reason. Let me tell you the reason that a man's life is messed up with alcohol or with drugs or with pornography or on and on we could go with sin. It's because sin holds him captive to that. But in Christ, we are set free from that. Sanctification and salvation is freedom tonight. It is not bondage, man. It's freedom. Can I do that? Well, I'm 44 years old. I guess I can if I want to, but I don't want to. You see, when God saved me, he changed my want to. He changed my want to, and now I want to be close to him. Now I want to live a life pleasing to him. Now I want my members to be members of righteousness unto him because of the good grace that he has shown me. Amen. The doctrine of sanctification. Going to chapter number 7, he reveals who the enemy is to us living a victorious Christian life. You know who that enemy is? It's not me. You know what that enemy is? If you're a husband, it's not your wife. It's not your children if you're a daddy. You know who that enemy is? You. That's who that enemy is. You have to battle yourself on a daily basis. I have to say every once in a while, John, you're not going to do that. You say you talk to yourself, I got to have an educated conversation every once in a while. You're not going to do that. You're not going to act that way. You're not going to say that. You say, preacher, I don't talk to myself. Well, if you'll start talking to yourself like that, you'll get yourself out of a lot of trouble. You won't sin near as much. You say, is there voices in your head? A whole bunch of them. You say, is there voices in my head? Yeah, you probably got them in your head too. It's who you yield yourself to. The devil didn't make you do it. Your friends didn't make you do it. Daddy would always say this, well, if they go jump off the Empire State Building, you're going to jump off the Empire State Building. We choose to do that. And until you take personal responsibility for what you're doing, you'll never get over it. We obey him. We yield to him. Because when I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm preaching. When we calculate all of our mess ups into his grace, we come out freed from that. He has forgiven us of that. It's like I preached Sunday morning, man. Look, we don't have to live in the past. The devotion that I sent out today was the very first devotion I ever wrote over 2 years ago and sent to the sheriff's office. And it was about cremating the past. It's gone. You cannot walk into the future backwards. Let the past be the past, man. God's forgive you for it. Quit obeying the lust thereof and yielding your members to unrighteousness and realize that God has set you free from that. Yield your members to righteousness in him and live a victorious Christian life, man. Father, we love you.